mind if you're taking notes. Tonight's message is called Free in the Wind. Free in the Wind. I don't have a lot tonight, but I do have some heavy stuff, and I'm going to go through some review because you need to remember what we've been talking about in order for us to really understand this. So I'm going to take my time. I've got about 7 pages of notes, and if I only get through 2, I'm okay with that tonight. But God is really taking this house into a special place. Over this past year, I mean, we have been going deeper and deeper and deeper into revelation of intimacy with God. I remember last summer, or it was March through, I think, June or so, we were doing a series called A New Song, and we were diving into, we did the entire book of the Song of Solomon, talking about intimacy with God. And looking back, I realize now that in that series, God was doing a shaking amongst the people. And I'm going to share a little bit about that, and not specifics, but I remember about probably 15 weeks in. That's a long teaching series. That's like everything they tell you not to do in teaching series and, you know, in ministry school. They say keep it short so you can change it up, and they don't know what they're talking about. But I remember about 15 weeks in, there was a few coming up to me and saying, we're sick and tired of hearing about intimacy. And I thought to myself, that's the problem. And don't worry, that they're not here anymore. But it's amazing to me how God will do some shaking and you have a choice to either stay or move. And looking back, that's where he's taking us when we're learning to be intimate with Father. He's been taking us on this deeper track of this year. We did a whole series about turning the keys of heaven. And then we started moving into this idea of the dance, the perichoresis, the circle dance with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That the Trinity is not a hierarchy of Father, Son, and then Spirit. Rather, the 3-in-1 is simply a 3-in-1 relationship, perichoresis, referring to a idea of a circle dance relationship where it is a communion of all three, and that this communion of all three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he actually invites us into that dance. I even spoke a word, if you remember, there's a popular story in the Bible about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 3 Hebrew boys thrown in the fire, and when they looked in the fire, there was a 4th man in the fire. I believe that was Jesus. How many of you believe that? But I also believe it was a prophetic picture of 4 dancing, of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the bride of Christ, the church, you. The perichoresis circle dance. Then we started moving into this idea of the unperverted wild nature. That when we think of wild, we think of chaos, but the unperverted wild nature is a people who are willing to look different to the world, who are willing to go according to what the Father wants to do and how he created us to be. And recently, we just finished this whole series on seeking first the kingdom of God, putting him above all things, learning a new way, learning a new government of living. And this new government, this new way, this new life brings us, as we've been talking about, into an awareness of 4th dimensional living. And he don't know I heard it, but I heard a report from Thursday night house church that whether you call it 4th dimension living or heavenly realm, it's just semantics. It's the same thing. It's whether you call it 4th dimension or whether you call it heavenly realm, it's this idea that heaven is among us. It's not this idea that heaven's a far off place, but it is a dimension that we can actually experience now before our flesh dies. That's why it talks about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven, because earth and heaven are actually in the same plane, just different dimensions, okay? The reason we need to know that is because we need to understand as a people seated in the heavenlies, and we're going to get in that a little bit tonight, as a people seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm, we don't get seated with Jesus once you pass away. You get seated with Jesus the moment you say yes to him as Lord. And because you are seated, you have ability to move heavenly things into earthly dimensions. This new government brings us into this awareness of this 4th dimension living, the presence of heaven on earth, not apart from earth, and it's calling sons and daughters back to this reality that God is here. And we really need to understand that God is here. He's not far away. He is here. He is with us. And I want to do a little review and read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, where it said, all these people, referring to, is that up there, Hebrews 11, 13? Okay. All these people, referring to Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on the earth. Someone say foreigners. On the earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Now, we've been calling that country heavenly homeland. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back, but they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's talking about this idea that God prepares a place for us. The problem is, religion has taught us that that place is a far away, distant place that you only experience in the afterlife. But if you read the text and the story in Genesis, God would eventually name this place for Abraham the land of Canaan. And God says in Genesis, God says it in Genesis 17:8, that he says, you will live in the land and that I will give you, and you will live in this land, referring to Canaan, referring to heavenly homeland, as a foreigner. Foreigner, not in the idea that heaven is your home and earth is not, but foreigner in the idea that you represent a government that is foreign to a fallen land. So in other words, just like Canaan was Abraham's land, if you will, the place we live, this is our land. This is our promise. How many of you know that we are grafted into Israel? That it's all promises for all of us. It is a church grafted in. We have promises. The problem that religion has done, it has taught us that heavenly homeland is far off, and you better do good so you can get there, when the Lord actually wants us to walk into a revelation that the heavenly homeland is actually here and now, right here all around us. It's up to us to live according to a government that looks foreign so that we can bring the reality of that government, the kingdom of God, into earth as it is in heaven. So it's not we wait for Jesus to come back to destroy everything so we can get to heaven. It's understanding that Jesus came back and redeemed you so that you can experience heavenly realities now, and that you, Jesus, will be revealed in his bride and redeem the land back to heavenly status. Does that make sense? It lets you know why spiritual gifts are needed, that why we have the ability to heal and speak in tongues and speak words of wisdom and words of knowledge. It is a gift that you need to bring a dimension into this dimension by no ability of yourself. Okay? The heavenly homeland is a restoration of earth operating under a kingdom government. God is calling a people up, not into a dimension apart from earth, but a dimension in the midst of the earth, the dwelling place of God, heaven on earth. To live in heavenly realms, or fourth dimension, same thing, is daring to believe that heaven is not far away. It's a place that you're invited into right now. So if you're going to understand what it means to move with the wind, you need to hear me. You need to get out of your theological mind that heaven is after you die and embrace the truth that it's all around. Yes. You know what theology is? Man trying to bring logic to something that God says your mind can't get. Amen. And that's why there's so much theological diversity, because we're making our opinions truth when the Lord says, can you get to know me in a way that my disciples did before they ever had a Bible? Listen to me, you can have a relationship with God without ever reading the Bible. And I am not saying don't read the Bible. I love the Bible. I read it all the time. Anyone that heard that wrong, you got offended, and you should read a book called The Bait of Satan. What I want you to understand is that before this Bible was written, these people had a close, intimate relationship with Jesus before they ever read about Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can have an intimate relationship with God Himself and never understand a word of this text. Because the words from this text should simply mirror genuine relationship with Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not read the text so that you can. It's the text confirms what you're in. Does that make sense? Okay. Where am I at? Daring to believe that heaven's not far away, but it's a dimension where people are invited into. I want to read Ephesians 2:6. He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Leave that up there. The word seated is not you will be seated, but past tense, you have been seated. You have been seated in heavenly realms. You have been seated in another dimension that is apart or in the midst of earth. And the word seated, translated, doesn't mean to sit. The word seated means you are given perfection and authority. You are given perfection and authority. In other words, he raised us from the dead along with Christ so that we would be positioned rightfully in heavenly places. If you are in heavenly places, you have to be perfect and without sin. To be in heavenly places, you have to have the authority to move heaven to earth. And God says, people, you can't do it, but I want you with me. It's always been the plan for you to be with me. So he says, I'm going to get it done for you. And the moment my son raises from the dead, Jesus himself, defeating death, hell, and the grave, the moment he is raised, you are now positioned as perfect with all authority I give you, even though you didn't earn it. He got it for you, right? So Jesus says, I've raised you up with me so that you could be seated or positioned in fourth dimension living. You've been given what you could not earn or obtain through the law so that you can be seated and start living in heavenly homeland. The problem is we haven't started living. We're still waiting for this next outpouring. We're still waiting for this next breath of God. When God says Jesus has restored the breath that I breathed into you in the very first days of Genesis chapter 2. We're waiting for God to do this thing, and God's like, no, no, no. I'm waiting on my bride to show up for a walk. Yes. I'm going to say it later, but I want to really, some of this is a lot of review, but we need it. Adam, when he sinned, it's not that he could not walk with God. It's his mind was open to the possibility that there was another reality apart from the walk. Yeah. So when Christ positions you, he says, I position you in a place where sin is trying to keep you from so that you can walk with me in heavenly places. So walk with me. And religion has come up with this idea of rules of you better go to church on Sunday and you better dress like this on the weekend and women can't preach and men better preach and some men preach good and some men preach bad. Paul was a bad preacher. People fell out the window listening to that dude talk. Like there's all kind of stuff in the Bible that we're making all these rules where you can't eat this and you can eat that and we got to have service on Sunday but not Saturday nights and Saturday's a real Sabbath and Sunday ain't a real Sabbath and Jesus says it's all done so every day Sabbath. Like there's all this stops and goes and permissions and God's like, I didn't come to give you more rules. I've come for you to walk. Yeah. But we still love to mix law into belief. and yet we're called to live free in the wind. We put chains of earning so we never experience the heavenly homeland. Like, we got to earn our way into fourth dimension. So people start asking, well, how do I get to fourth dimension? What must I do? You just missed it. Well, maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I do a 5-minute devotion every day. Let me do a 7-minute devotion every day, because 7 is the perfect number, and that's a really good number in the Bible, right? So we start getting all. I'm poking a little bit, but and I'm hoping I'm poking religious mindsets, but we start to set up all these systems to try to. I want to get to heavenly homeland, and God says it's here. Walk, be with me. You don't have to earn anything more. You don't have to do this a certain way. Just walk with me, and you will learn the way by way of relationship. See, when Abraham, this little bit of review, when Abraham was told, get the heavenly homeland, God says, in order for you to get there, you need to keep my covenant. This is a little review. And if you read the scripture, the way he had a sign of keeping covenant was circumcision. So he says, get circumcised so I know you're keeping my covenant. Why was circumcision the way? It was a sign of flesh being cut off or impurity being cut off. It was a sign of I'm getting this defilement off of you. That's what circumcision was all about. Not that it did it. It was a sign of cut off what defiles you. It's this idea of cutting off the thing in your life that separates you from the covenant of I walk in righteousness with God. The idea of circumcision was cut off everything that separates you so that you could walk with God. Now, God says keep that covenant so you can go to heavenly homeland. So what religion has done is define the covenant. Don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that, make sure you do it this way, make sure you do it that way. I want to open your eyes tonight to this. Religion teaches cut off defiled things. So we spend the rest of our lives thinking, I need to stop sinning so that I can get there. Okay? But more accurately, what God wants you to cut off is the idea that anything can separate you from him. Cut off the idea that anything can separate you from the walk with God. Adam and Eve sinned, and they were still worthy for a walk with God. Sin did not separate them. Sin opened their mind to, we can separate. Sin simply brought an awareness that you can choose separation. God showed up for the walk after sin, but Adam chose to be separated. I heard a preacher say this week, they were actually talking about this same story that I've been referencing probably every week now for like 6 months. But they said, think about what happened to Adam. The moment he sinned, anxiety crept in. Shame crept in. Because when he realized what he had done, he didn't run to God. He covered himself. Adam's sin immediately felt ashamed of who he was. And you know what the true sin was? He felt ashamed of who he was in the presence of God. He separated himself. He covered up. Listen to me. People who are not comfortable in their own skin choose to believe in the lie of shame. And it will keep you from being free in the wind. Stop being ashamed of who you are. Be comfortable of who you are, because I guarantee you, you don't know the fullness of who you are. But you know how you get to the fullness of who you are? Not getting everything right. It's walking with God who brings you into that revelation of self. Religion keeps you from the walk because you think, let me get everything right so that I can walk with God. And God says, no, walk with me so that all things flow from that posture. If we move into a new realm of God here on earth, not just believing it, but living it, we have to be a people that learn how to move with the wind. move with the wind. Wind is a way the Bible describes the person of Holy Spirit. And we're really going to get into this and really talk about who Holy Spirit is, because Holy Spirit is not a thing. Y'all ever seen those church services where people, this was like probably back in the 80s or 90s, but they would throw Holy Spirit. He's not an orb. It's not like this power inside. Well, it is power inside, but it's not like this power that you throw with it. Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible uses wind to describe the characteristics of this person whose name is Holy Spirit. I think we should keep each other accountable and stop referring to the Holy Spirit and start just talking to him as his name. His name is Holy Spirit, like his name is Jesus, like his name is Father. He is Holy Spirit. John 3, verse 8. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now leave that up there. I want to read to you what the Passion Translation says. It says, for the Spirit wind blows as it chooses. You can hear its sound, but you don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. So it is the same with those who are Spirit born. The wind blows, it says. Wherever the wind blows, wherever it wants. The word blow actually translated means to breathe. So the wind breathes. The word hear, where it says, just as you can hear the wind, actually means voice. So the sound the wind makes, the voice of the wind. You have a breath, you have a voice, and then the word wind in this passage actually literally means spirit. So they were using these words, trying to paint a picture the best way they could of something that's very difficult to understand. And after about an hour, I wrote this. I know this, like, why did it take you an hour? But the Spirit breathes wherever he wants, on whatever he wants, and however he wants, and with whoever he wants. His voice is likened to hearing the wind. You'll never be able to identify the source of what you hear because he exists in an unseen realm. Let me read that again. The Spirit breathes wherever he wants to, on whatever he wants to, with whoever he wants to, and however he wants to. I want to sit right there. However he wants to. The Spirit is not limited to what we read in the book of Acts. The Spirit is not limited to what we read in the Bible. Now, that's a bold statement, because people hear that at face value and say, well, he's not a Bible teacher. Oh, I'm a Bible teacher. Amen. I started this ministry, today is the 10-year anniversary of Relentless Church. That's funny. We missed that one. But who cares? We're moving with the wind. We started this church 10 years ago. Hey, you know what? I like that, because we're not worshiping the church. I get sick and tired of church anniversaries. We're worshiping him, not the starting of an organization. Well, we started the organization 10 years ago. Where was I going with that? On a Sunday. There it is. Tomorrow technically is. Yeah, that's true. We started the church 10 years ago, and it's been amazing just seeing how the Lord wants to do anything that he wants to do. And that's where I was going. When people hear something like the Spirit is not limited to what you read in the Bible, I started this church 10 years ago, and I've been preaching like as much words of this scripture as I can get to. I've done studies in Song of Solomon. We've done studies in Romans and Acts. We have gone through these pages. I've done a little bit of Revelation, but I'm not going there yet. I'll get there one day. I am a line-by-line, verse-by-verse guy. I believe in the Bible. I believe everything in the Bible is true. I believe it's for yesterday, today, and forever. Having said that, the Bible was not written for us to contain God in. God wants to do whatever he wants to, with whoever he wants to and however he wants to do it. So for us as theological people, if you will, theology meaning the study of God, to say that God can't move like that, you're doing that because you worship a written book more than the God who inspired the written book. If God wants to do something new, how dare us compare it to something that he did yesterday? He can do whatever he wants, however he wants, with whoever he wants, through whatever means necessary. And we are called to be a born of spirit people, meaning relationship with one whom we cannot see, who we cannot confine to logic or theology, and we want to be like him. If he is likened to the wind, maybe we need to be a people with the same characteristic. I remember last year we adopted a new core value. Can anyone guess what core value I'm going to reference? Move. Thank the Lord and elder said that. One of our core values, which you can read it out there on the walls, is moving with the wind. I remember when we adopted that, I got pushback from someone. They sat me down for coffee and they said, "You're changing the vision to get your way and to do what you want." And I said, I'm not changing the vision. I'm adding on to what the Lord wants to do. And even if he wanted to change it, I would say yes. Because it's not about honoring something started 10 years ago. It's about honoring a move with Holy Spirit wherever he wants to take us. And I don't know about you, but I want to be so sold out to God that whatever he wants to change, I would not say no to him to worship a brand called Relentless Church. I want to move wherever he wants to, wherever he wants to go, however he wants to do it, with whoever he wants to do it, and however he wants to do it. And I do mean however.
Yes. Amen.
You know, we've done some simple things, maybe not so simple to us. I think simple in the spirit realm, like moving from Sundays to Saturdays. Got tons of pushback about that. Now, none of the people that were here when we moved it want to ever go back to Sundays. We went to spirit-led worship where we put together a set list, but then we don't stick to the set list. We move to house churches. There's all kind of things that we have changed and changed and changed over the years, and I believe that as we grow and move with the wind, we will keep changing over and over, because what I see, people like, "Kyle, why do you change?" And I look at the people of Relentless and say, this is why, because the people that are in this church are growing in their understanding of God more than I could ever imagine, and it's not because I'm a good teacher, it's because Holy Spirit is among this place, and we are saying yes to him. We're saying yes to that relationship. We're saying yes to a move. We're saying yes to be foreigners in the world, because we don't want to live in a fallen world. We want to live in a heavenly homeland world.
Yes.
We are called to be born of spirit people. Acts 2, 1 through 2. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty wind storm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They did not get wind or breath of God with a system of a 20-minute message, 15 minutes of worship, and great greeters in the parking lot. And I almost sound kind of hypocritical, because we have greeters in the parking lot. We have greeters in the lobby. We have all these volunteer roles, which is great. The goal is that we establish that culture to where we never have to schedule another volunteer. Like, honestly, that is the heart of the house. To get to a place where we are so in love with God that when someone walks in, they never have to see a badge, because their badge is your persona. Like when people walk in and come at 5:45 and the band's up here and they're playing their music and they're praying, there would be such a hunger that we would not sit down and wait for the band to take us there. We would be on our knees and face down and worshiping, because we're not waiting on song number one to start. We just cannot wait to be in the presence of God with other believers. That's where we want to go.
Yes.
And I'm not beating us up for not being there now. I'm praising God that we are here for this moment because we're hungry for that day. Yeah. Are you with me on that? Yeah. I'm hungry for a day where physical ailments cannot stop us. I'm hungry for a day where our anxiety doesn't stop us, our stress doesn't stop us, our worry doesn't stop us. I'm hungry for a day where we can disagree and not be offended. I'm hungry for a day for a people who are saying yes to God above all other things. But we can't get there if we don't learn how to move with the wind. I talked a couple weeks ago about an illustration that I heard Damon Thompson use, that he was on vacation with his family and he saw a boat moving across the water. And it was just, I can't remember where it was, but basically it was a huge pirate ship. And he thought it was weird because, you know, when you watch good Christian movies like Pirates of the Caribbean, the ships have these huge sails moving, because back in those days, they didn't have motors. In order to go, what did the ship have to do? They had to set sail and they had to catch the wind. He thought it was weird because as he looked at this pirate ship crossing the beach, there was no sails, just huge motors. And he said, the church no longer throws up sails to the wind because we've created motors for us to guide the ship rather than leaning into the wind of the Spirit. He said, the church no longer throws up sails to the wind because we've created motors for us to guide the ship rather than wind of Holy Spirit. We must learn how to throw up our sails and catch the wind, or in other words, learn how to be 100% driven by the God who has no boundaries. 100% driven by the God that has no boundaries. I think I shared this, I forgot who I shared this with, but Shira and I were watching my cousin's kids this past week. We had 3 kids for 5 days. It was great. I got a prophetic picture of what it's like to have kids. Laundry, 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 laundry. You better eat. You better eat. Laundry, laundry, laundry. I've never done that much laundry in my life as I did in 5 days. But we went to the beach, and then we went to get a bite downtown, and after we ate, we got an extra burger to take to a homeless person. Well, when we walked outside, the homeless person wasn't there. So I took that moment with my wife to teach the kids how to listen to the Holy Spirit. So we sat there on the corner, and we had this bag. It was a very healthy burger and fries. And I said, all right, we're going to pray right here in public, and we're going to ask God to show us who to give this burger to. And they just looked, and they said, okay, no argument. I wish adults would do that. Like, if I took the chairs away and said, let's just press in, I would get 300 complaints about how this isn't the church for you anymore. These kids, you see, oh, y'all laughing, and some of y'all are quiet, like, yeah, you're right about that. But the 3 kids, they were on the corner, and I didn't pray. Shira didn't pray. We said, one of y'all pray. So this little 10-year-old boy, he's sitting there, and he's just, Lord, show us who you want us to bless this food with. Amen. So we just started walking. And we started walking. There was a group of homeless people, about 8 people sitting there. And I didn't feel in my spirit that they were the ones we were supposed to give it to. But I didn't say anything to the kids. And the kids just looked, and they just walked by. This happened probably 2 or 3 times. And then we come to these 2 gentlemen sitting in the square, and they're making those flowers. And we just walked by them. And there was something in me that just felt like, oh, that's the ones kids are supposed to give the burger to. But I didn't say anything. Apparently, Shira felt it too, I found out. So we're walking, and we get, I mean, probably from me to that wall, and the kids stop, and they just said, Uncle Kyle, I think that's who we're supposed to give the burger to. I said, do all y'all agree? And they said, yeah. And I looked at Shira, and Shira told them, I felt that too. So the kids just looked in the guy's direction, and without moving, the guy stood up and started walking toward us. And when he got here, the kids said, here's some food. We love you, or maybe Jesus loves you. So God told us to give you this meal. And the kids gave him the meal, And the guy gave them one of those flowers and walked away. And we watched them eat it right there. And the kids had this, like, I found out when they got in the car to be picked up, they didn't talk about the mud on the marsh or the beach or all these fun things, the candy, the movies. They talked about how they listened to Holy Spirit to give a burger to a homeless guy.
Yes.
And I say that to you because these 10-year-old kids and 5 and 7 don't know hardly anything about end-time revelation. They don't know hermeneutics. They don't know apologetics. All they know was, Lord, show us. Can we be a church where we just get consumed with, Lord, show us? I feel that. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for spirit, ruach, means wind, spirit, breath. In the New Testament, the Greek word for spirit, pneuma, means wind, spirit, breath. That word pneuma is actually where we get our word pneumatic. The literal meaning for pneumatic means containing or operated by air under pressure. So a wind-driven people are a pneumatic people because the spirit or the wind lives inside of us and we contain the one who has all power. So what is the church? It is a people with power inside where we are moved by that power and we get to release it. Why? Because you've been made right and seated in a position as worthy, perfect, with all authority. How can we heal? Because we're a people moving by the wind to release that contained air, that contained wind, that contained Holy Spirit. Think about what the Holy Spirit does. He says, I want to come inside of you so that I can be released through you to whoever, however, and whatever. How can we speak in unknown languages? How can we pray for enemies? How can we display a wisdom unknown to, as I talked about last week, to angels and demons? How can we command a demon to leave? How can Jesus get a guy to walk on water? It was all driven by Holy Spirit. And when we listen to Holy Spirit and when we start building that relationship with Holy Spirit, we will know when to move appropriately. Jesus did not walk on the water to show people a magic trick. It was the time when Holy Spirit said, do it. And we cannot be so immature in our faith to just think we can do whatever, whoever, however, because we have the power. It's we submit to the one in us who has all power so he can do whatever he wants through a vessel known as you. We essentially can choose to live two different ways as believers. Number one, live in a very clear government of law. Don't do this. Don't do that. Dress like this. Say it like that. You better say in Jesus' name when you pray. You better close your eyes when you pray. Even though when Jesus blessed the bread, he looked up. You better say Lord when you start a prayer. You know, you better do it like this. Better say it like that. Law. Or we can live in an unseen government of the wind where he gives permission for here and there. Which one do you choose to live in? John 14, 16 through 17. Is this okay tonight? Okay. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because the world isn't looking for him, doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Why can't the world see him? Because they operate in a government of what can I see? We operate in a government of we know a voice and a breath that cannot be seen. And I even thought about this as I wrote that statement down, that the world lives in the government of I can see. I want you to think about religions that are apart from Christianity. Think about whether it be Buddhists or Hindus or even witches and supernatural occult and all that. They all have to have a tangible thing for their stuff to work. They got to have a stone, or they got to light a fire, or they have to do an enchantment on an object, or they have to have a statue. They have to have something they can see. But we are a people that don't have to have anything we can see, because the one that we cannot see is all around us. You know what religion wants you to do? Religion wants you to have more relationship with communion elements than simply learning how to commune. Or more relationship with Bible than the wind who moved the people to write it. Now, I want to help you see the real meaning of John 14, 16 through 17. And please hear my heart. Don't come at me saying that I'm against the Bible when I'm teaching from it. This is so good and so real and so right. But this is not God. Okay. Now, the word advocate, because the scripture says he will give you another advocate who will never leave you, the word advocate is inadequate to explain what the original text is saying. The problem with the word advocate is it's a legal defense term through a democratic lens. Remember, this is written not through a democratic government lens, God's calling, but through a lens of kingdom government. Kingdom. Religion has presented the Holy Spirit as merely as a defender, counselor, friend. He is those things. Amen? Amen. All good, but it doesn't paint the true picture of what the scripture is trying to say. The Greek word here, where we translated advocate, is parakletos, meaning one called to stand next to you as a helper or a savior. So if you read the Passion Translation, it actually says, instead of saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, the Passion Translation actually says, I will ask the Father and I will give you another Savior. Let me explain this. What does Holy Spirit save you from and how? I thought Jesus saved us. How many of you believe that Jesus is the only one that saved us, right? Jesus saved us. He's the only one. What does the Holy Spirit save you from? He leads you away from self. He leads you away from the enemy. He leads you into destiny as a child of God. The Aramaic word parakleta, comes from two words. Prog, meaning to save or finish. And leta, meaning curse. In other words, what does the Holy Spirit do as a savior? He comes to end the work of the curse in your lives. Jesus said, it is finished. To think that Holy Spirit is apart from Jesus is a theology that is Father, Son, Holy Spirit as three separate beings. They are one. Therefore, they all have a part in the phrase, it is finished. To move with the wind takes us from cursed living to heavenly homeland dimensions. Jesus finished all the work on the cross. But if Father, Son, and Spirit are one, then all are involved in the finishing of the curse. So Jesus said, it's done. And it is done is walking that out through a lifestyle of moving with the wind. It's like Shabana shared in her testimony about Lazarus and the grave clothes. Jesus says, come out from the grave. It was finished, but they still had to unwrap him. So when Jesus saves us from eternal damnation and puts us in heavenly places, seats us in the heavenly realms, he says, now I'm going to send you another Savior to save you from a life you were never meant to live. And the way you get saved from that life that you were never meant to live is have a relationship with the one who is going to take you into those higher dimensions, into those heavenly places. You are not meant to grow up and have fear. You are not meant to be prone to worry or stress or anxious living. You are not meant to think less of yourself. You are never meant to be a people who are tossed to and fro by any other wind other than God himself, who is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to move you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to do incredible things through you. And how dare you respond with, I'm not worthy, when he made you worthy through the cross and is walking you into worthiness with a lifestyle. I hope y'all are just digesting this. You see why we got to be in this for a while? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. We know the Father fully, Scripture says, by understanding the person of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Jesus says, everything you see that I don't do it apart from the Father. So in order to understand who Father is, you have to look at Jesus. But you cannot know Jesus, the Savior, fully without being moved with a relationship by Holy Spirit wind. And I can prove it to you in John 14. Look at verse 20. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, I am in you. Well, what's in you? Holy Spirit. So how is it that he is in us? Holy Spirit. So to build a relationship with the still small whispers of Holy Spirit, to build a relationship with the one who moves like the wind, to build a relationship with the Holy Spirit is building a relationship with the Godhead, three in one, not just Holy Spirit, but Father and Jesus. You get to know more of Jesus than just the guy who died on the cross. You get to know the guy who died on the cross, the guy who rose from the dead, the guy who preached after he was dead, the guy who left the earth and sent the helper. You get to learn, you get to meet the Jesus we don't get to read about who is seated. You ever realize that the Bible paints a beautiful picture of Jesus, but it can't paint the full picture because that's Holy Spirit's role? Because he is seated in heavenly places and he is still doing things and he is still praying and we can't read those prayers? We can't find the book of prayers of Jesus of today based off of stuff that was written thousands of years ago. But you know who we can learn about that through? Holy Spirit. Like when Holy Spirit brings a prophecy and says, hey, you got to do that. Could it be that the Holy Spirit is releasing something that Jesus himself is praying for, but the prayers cannot move from heaven to earth without someone releasing it through their mouth? I think that is the greatest description of prophecy ever said. I'm just kidding, kind of. Like, that's building a relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit wants you to get to know who he is, not just yesterday, but the Jesus of today and forever. Resurrection brings us into a relationship with all three in such a way in that you will know Jesus in the Father and in the wind, Holy Spirit, that is in you. Moving with the wind, freely living in the life of the Holy Spirit, brings you closer to a revelation of the fullness of Jesus. And those who are not moving in the wind only know Jesus as the one who died on the cross. But he's not just abstract wind. He is a person who moves like the wind. That helps you walk out of the curse and into the promise. When you are moved by the wind, you have no trouble loving everyone. So if you have an issue with loving your neighbor, you are not being moved by the wind. Because when you are moved by the wind, you will look like God breathed, love your neighbor as yourself. And you don't start setting up walls of, I can never forgive that person because... Well, thank God that the wind did not move Jesus to not forgive you. Amen. When you're moved by the wind, your focus is being guided out of a curse. Satan, the demonic demons, they want you to embrace your curse. Holy Spirit blows on your cursed self and says, come out of hiding. Genesis 2:7. I'm getting there. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. God breathed life. There can be no life without God breathing in it. There can be no life without God's breath. I'm going to read three verses from a very popular story that I don't think I've ever preached on this, except it was on youth ministry years ago. Ezekiel chapter 37, the Valley of the Dry Bones. I want to read verses 7 through 10. I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. The skin formed to cover their bodies. They still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come, O breath, from the four winds." He wasn't asking four winds to come. He's talking to Holy Spirit. Come, O breath, from the four winds. In other words, from all directions, we cannot figure out where you are coming from, but we ask you to come, the unseen. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Someone shout army. Now, Ezekiel had already declared God's word to the dead and dry bones. He saw the bones come together. He saw the flesh get on the bones. But it wasn't enough. There needed to be a completed work that we prophesy in part and then say, Holy Spirit, breathe on it. So there needed to be a completed work by Holy Spirit. So he called on the Spirit breath for life. Come from the Spirit came from a place that no one could see. Perhaps to be free in the wind is not only prophesy to dead places, but ask Holy Spirit to finish the work of what you prophesy. Asking his presence to move dead things from a curse of death to the promise of freedom. So it's not just, I pray that, I don't know who this is for. It's not just, Lord, save my son. It's Lord, save my son, and Holy Spirit, breathe.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I think we've been praying incomplete prayers. And when Holy Spirit breathes, it isn't just a group with life. What was it? And you said it loud. It was an army. But it was an army of people dancing in the perichoresis, moving the promise of heaven into an earthly reality. Here's what's great. The Hebrew word for army means a host, a great host. So when the Holy Spirit breathed on a people, they were now the host of the breath of God. They were now a great host of the wind. Why would this army go on to victory? Because they were hosting power. So when we say, you know, I used to sing a song, we're an army dressed for battle. We're an army dressed for battle. Take the land. I'm realizing now it's not an army that needs to fight. It's an army that can release what we're hosting. So you know how we change Savannah? Holy Spirit wind evangelism. We're, praise God, we're asking people if they're saved or not. But let's take it further. Let's be a people who are driven by the wind in every situation with a stranger. In every situation with a loved one, with a friend. Let's start praying that the Holy Spirit would breathe on our workplaces, on our families. Let's ask that Holy Spirit would start breathing on situations. Because we don't want to just be free because we're going to heaven. We want to be free in the wind. We want to be driven by Holy Spirit. We want to be a people that are hosting the very breath of God. And God explains the idea even further in verse 14 of Ezekiel 37. He says, this is what it means, Ezekiel. I will put my spirit in you. You will live again, return home to your own land, and then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. There is a call to return to a heavenly homeland reality, not by dying in the flesh, but by dying to the flesh, allowing the Holy Spirit wind to take you there. Interesting. We have understood that when we harness wind, it generates great power. But the church suppresses the wind because we don't want to learn to throw up the sails. Even the world understands the power of the wind. What if the bride of Christ could understand the power of Holy Spirit? I close with this in Isaiah 40, 31. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Here's the catch. Birds don't fly. They catch wind. You know what that means? If there was no wind, if there was no air, the bird could not fly. It talks about you like that in Scripture, where I am weak, He is strong. What I cannot do, there is a wind for it. You hear that? What we cannot do, there's a wind for it. So stop trying to figure out how to fix the situation that you can't fix and start going to the one that you host and release him into the thing. Maybe it's your mind. Lord, I can understand this. Stop telling the Lord what you can't do and start inviting Holy Spirit to breathe on your understanding. God, I'm not good enough. Ask Holy Spirit to start revealing how good you actually are. You not believing you're not good enough is a chain of law when you have been designed to move freely in the wind. You are good enough. You're perfected under right standing with the Father. He has done everything he needs to put you in position to walk as a child of God. How do you soar with the wind to go up to a heavenly dimension? Trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will find strength. Those who trust in the soar will soar high like eagles. When you start to trust in the Lord, you'll be free. Free from cursed living. Free to live by the lead of the Holy Spirit and into a dimension of heaven on earth. Church, this is not just a good message to come together. This is a message of trying to get us to understand what we have been positioned for. And if we would embrace it, and be willing to believe that we don't know it all, that there are things of God that we have not seen and have not imagined, we would walk into heavenly homeland. But we have to start by throwing away our old mindset of this is what the Bible says and this is what my pastor taught me and this is what I've learned. Throw it all away and start allowing Holy Spirit to breathe on your mind, breathe on your understanding. Because these disciples and Abraham and Enoch and Elijah and all these different people in the Bible, some of them got it to such a degree that their flesh was taken up without dying and went to heaven. There were prophets in the Old Testament who knew Jesus more than the rabbis in the New. There were people in the Old Testament that understand the voice of the Father way before Jesus ever made them right. You want to know why? Because he was slain before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? You were already invited in to relationship. He brought Jesus to open everyone's eyes. But the lie we've been taught is that Jesus came to open the eyes because seeing Jesus was the only way to open the eyes. No. Our eyes were always invited to be open. But for one final time, he says, I'm going to make sure that you see this is what it looks like. This is heavenly homeland living. This is understanding what it means to be a child of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is what the Garden of Eden looked like, y'all. You want to know what Garden of Eden looked like? Jesus walking in Jerusalem. I wish I knew what the Garden of Eden looked like. You know what the Garden of Eden looked like? Lions and lambs laying together. You know what the Garden of Eden looked like? Walking on water, because water did not tell us what we could or could not do. You know what Garden of Eden looked like? Storm, you can't come today, but the rains can come. Garden of Eden was a heavenly homeland dimension. It was heaven on earth. And believe it or not, God says, come into that. I look at the patterns of this world and see that they're trying to go exactly where God wants to take us. I mean, think about it. All the movies and all the new trends are all about identity, and they're all about supernatural. They're all hungry for the same thing. They're all hungry for the right thing, but they're consuming the wrong thing. And the church condemns them when we should be saying, Holy Spirit, breathe on those dry bones. Breathe on those thirsty souls. You want to know why you pray for your enemy? Pray for the one you don't like? Because you're breathing Holy Spirit to change what you don't like about them so that you will learn to love them. But you cannot pray for someone you don't like unless you see them from a dimension that you are not presently in. You look at them from they are a child of God despite how they act, despite who they are, despite their actions. You choose to see them above, not linear. You choose to see them from a heavenly dimension, just like the Father sees you. Let us be a people that are free in the wind. And allow the Holy Spirit to do whatever he wants to do. Amen.